With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Red Seat Podcast. This is your Sox Rays series win podcast here. Red Sox have just pulled out the incredible victory over the Rays 6-5 to close this thing out in four games, which is just crazy considering how they looked in the first game and a half, I guess we could say, of this series. Keaton, man, how you feeling about this whole thing? I mean, the Red Sox are going to the ALCS. This is bananas.
Yeah, it is. There's just something special about this team, man, and it just feels great to have fans in the stands for playoff baseball. The Red Sox beating the Yankees at home, beating the Rays at home. On to the next one.
Yeah, it's really incredible. You know, I've been historically optimism man on this podcast, but this team tested me, and over the last month or so, I'll be honest, I didn't think they had it. You know, seeing how they performed down the stretch, dropping 2 out of 3 from Baltimore and needing to sweep the Nationals just to get in, and then, you know, not responding, playing the Yankees at home, and then this, it's just like, it's amazing. I don't know. I think I have to give credit to Alex Cora here. That's my first thought, is just, you know, I was critical on this podcast of Alex Cora for not stressing urgency enough with his guys. But maybe what he was doing is just saving those buttons that he needs to push for the postseason. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I've never been in a professional clubhouse before, but maybe those are buttons that, you know, you only have a few pushes to do those things. And, you know, maybe he didn't want to use those for that Yankees series. Maybe he had confidence that his team would make it there, and then he could use those whatever motivational buttons or whatever the hell he's doing to this team, because he's an amazing postseason manager, and they've been playing a very different brand of baseball so far in the postseason.
They have, and he's been super aggressive, and it's worked out just about every time. I think there's maybe something from today's game that we'll touch on later that maybe is a bit of a questionable move, but that being the not going to Whitlock an inning early, or to start the inning, I should say. But that, I mean, I guess it's kind of tough to even fault him for that, because Brazier had been on like a string of like something like 12 straight scoreless appearances or scoreless innings. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard, you know, to fault him for that. But you would have wished he would have, you know, gone to drop the hammer immediately. But everything else, I mean, Pivetta on short rests, going to Eduardo Rodriguez on short rest, to Tanner Houck today on short rests, having the balls to pull Eduardo Rodriguez and Chris Sale very early in their outings in game 1 and 2. You know, tough outcome in game 1, but worked like a charm in game 2, able to get them to fight back. He knows how to manage a team in the postseason, and it is great to see the Red Sox and him back in the postseason, and him going head-to-head against Kevin Cash is something that we talked about in the preview podcast of this series. And, you know, one thing that Matt pointed out was he gave the edge to Kevin Cash, who has really kind of excelled this year in particular. I mean, he's been good for a while now, but this year with this really young team, because basically all the veteran starters were hurt, right? If they hadn't gone to Patino last night, today would have been the fourth straight day they started a game with a rookie. Like, that's absurd.
Yeah.
But everything that Kevin Cash can do, Alex Cora is just as good. The gap really just isn't there. And it was really fun to watch these two managers go head-to-head, and obviously a lot more fun that Cora ended up coming out on top.
Yeah, and you have to give a lot of credit to the players, too, because after that Sale blow-up in game two, you know, I was texting the group chat the broom emoji. I did not see this team coming back from that. And I was texting with Matt a little bit about this, too. And it's like, how many games have we watched this year? I've probably watched 150 games. And I still have zero read on this team in terms of, like, when they're actually out of it, when they're going to go on a run. Like, I have no idea. This team is the most hard-to-follow Red Sox team that I think that I've ever watched in my entire life, with just, like, every other team in the league, I feel like, would have just been like, yeah, okay, all right, game two's a wash now, and then we're just going home. Our ace just got lit up. But then they come back and they score 14 runs to win this series. The huge hit from Vasquez in game three. And then Vasquez coming through again tonight, getting on base. And then, you know, the obviously Kike Hernandez coming up with Danny Santana pinch running on third base. It just felt sort of inevitable at that point. I wouldn't say it. And I was just sitting there clutching like a throw pillow in my living room, anxiously awaiting what was going to happen. But
yeah,
you have to give credit to this group of individuals, because as infuriating as they can be, and trust me, they can be infuriating. If you followed this team all year, they have made you incredibly mad at different times. But yep, seriously, like, never count them out, because they are so friggin' good. Like, who has more talent than this team? When you look at them on paper, you look at this roster and you're like, this shit is built for the postseason. It's just whether or not mentally they were going to be there enough to, you know, whether or not they were going to do enough during the regular season to be there. And now that they're in, it's like, dude, I don't know. Like, they could beat anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing that we talked about, something I brought up in the previous series when Matt asked us for X factors, I noted the bottom of the lineup. Even though the offense was loud against the Yankees, the bottom of the lineup, really 7-8-9-1, was really poor. And through the first couple games of this series, 7-8-9-1 was pretty poor. But the bottom of the lineup, I noted, has been kind of a big source of the frustration that you just talked about this season, and at times has become a black hole that's stunted rallies or really not allowed innings to continue like they should and put runs on the board. And the Red Sox constantly stranding runners in scoring position all year. I mean, we talked a couple times on our podcast about just how bad they were and how things changed so drastically from no runners on or a runner on first to then all of a sudden you move up 90 feet and how difficult it was. But the bottom of the order was an X factor for me, because this is playoff ball. Everything gets ratcheted up, and there's going to be moments where someone in the bottom of the lineup was going to have to come through and get a hit when they needed it. And you saw that in the last couple of nights with Vasquez. Hits the walk-off home run last night, gets the leadoff single in the ninth here to get that rolling. And then Arroyo gets the bunt down, rolls it back over to Shaw, who was able to move him over to third. And just seeing the bottom of the order the last 2 days come through when they really needed it just makes me so much more confident in this offense.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, not many guys can execute a bunt like that with the amount of time off that Arroyo has had. He's just got ice in his veins. That was the perfect play, and so very Alex Cora too, to call for that play at that point and be confident that Arroyo could go out and execute it. But man, you gotta love the way that Eduardo Rodriguez started this game too. I mean, going five innings strong, six strikeouts, just two earned runs, didn't walk anybody, which was fantastic. I do say one of the things that I questioned about this game was taking Eddie out when he did in favor of Hauk. We know that Hauk has struggles against lefties. As good as Hauk has been, he's dominant against righties. And he came in and pretty much immediately faced two tough lefties. And Wander Franco gets a big hit there. Were you at all surprised that he went to Hauk with those lefties about to come up?
No, I wasn't as surprised. He was at 78 pitches when he got pulled, which on his own wouldn't have been a lot, but he did throw 40-some just a couple nights ago. Mm-hmm. That total was going to be less, and the fact that he was right around 80, it feels like that was probably the point. But to your point, with those lefties coming in, it makes you wonder why he didn't go to like Josh Taylor or one of those other guys.
Yeah,
I know Davis was up a couple times, but never made it in. I don't think I question the move in taking Rodriguez out, but it did seem a little weird going to Hauk in that situation versus one of your other lefties on the bench.
Yeah, I agree. It's facing Franco in Lau was pretty difficult there, but you know, they were able to have success. And then in the third inning, when the Red Sox did most of their damage, you know, another highlight of this team has just been the ability to hit with two strikes or two outs, I should say. They had two outs in the inning when Devers got the home run. And then, you know, just keeping that going with Bogarts, obviously, getting the single, Verdugo with the massive double, and then Martinez again. It's just it was amazing. Just such a great show of resilience from this offense, which, you know, we've always talked about it, and we talked about it ad nauseum this year. This team is going to go as far as the offense is going to carry it, and mm-hmm. the fact that they were able to do that against McClanahan, who flat out has been dominant in the second half of the year, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was, and it was great to see. This was really like a well-rounded Fenway Park win. They wore out the wall. They had the big homer to kick it off. They were able to play some small ball. It was just a great October Fenway win.
Yeah, it sure was. And the crowds have been absolutely vintage at Fenway, too. So that's been really nice to see. It's been an incredibly loud building. I think people are just excited to see this team playing, and they should be. And, you know, nothing they do from this point on will surprise me. I am done being a pessimist, Keaton. I am back to my old optimism ways, because I just frankly have no idea what this team is capable of, because it seems like they're capable of anything.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, I felt a little out of character being the optimism guy, so I'm glad you're back.
All right, good. We can switch roles.
Yeah. For you, though. So the two things that I want to talk about were, you know, not going to Whitlock to start the eighth.
Yeah.
But then also the Rays, it seemed like they were too quick on the hook for McHugh there and going to McClanahan. Only 18 pitches for McHugh at the time.
Yeah.
Did that seem weird? I mean, I know, I guess he was also on short-ish rest, but 18 pitches is not a lot. And he had only given up one hit. No strikeouts, had given up some contact, but it seems like they probably should have rode McHugh out longer. What do you think about that move?
If I was Kevin Cash, I'd have done the exact same thing. Just because, not because of anything McHugh did while he was in the game. It's just because Colin McHugh isn't that good. And this Red Sox offense is really good. And he's got that type of stuff that these Red Sox hitters can feast off of. Especially if you hit him through the lineup for a second time. I think you would have seen some pretty massive damage against him. And then, you know, the fact that they had that extra day, they weren't going to play until Wednesday. Game 5 wasn't going to be until Wednesday. You could really run out all these guys, the McClanahans, the Kittredge, the Patino. All these dudes could be put in the game. I just thought it was kind of not if, but when they got to McHugh. And I think it would have just taken superhuman control to leave McHugh in there a little bit longer, even though he was pitching well. He's just not a very good pitcher, in my opinion.
Fair. Yeah, he didn't have any strikeouts in those two innings and did give up some contact, so it might have seemed like he was playing with fire. But I was just surprised because he was having a lot of success in keeping the ball in the yard and keeping this offense off balance. I thought they might try and go for another inning out of him.
Yeah, it might have been wise, but it's tough to predict that McClanahan is going to, you know, throw 28 pitches and give up 5 earned runs too.
Yeah,
with the way that he has been looking. So it's, you know, it just goes to show that this Rays team, as impressive as they are during the regular season, I hate to say that Smoltz made some good points, but he did actually, in the fact that, you know, this is a very young Rays pitching staff. You know, he pointed out on the broadcast that Eovaldi by himself has thrown more than 3 of their starters combined. There's a lot of inexperience, and there's a lot of bit players on this team who have all contributed in this perfect way to get these 100 wins. But when you match them up for, you know, a 5-game series, it's not necessarily the best team on paper either. And these guys have thrown a lot over this series so far. And, you know, it tended to kind of favor the Red Sox in this matchup with how they've used their pitchers through the first part of the series. So really did play into Alex Cora's hand a little bit here. And as far as the Brazier thing goes, I can't fault Cora for putting Brazier in when he did. I think you could say that he should have given Brazier a quicker hook than he did. Maybe after the first run was let up, bring in Whitlock. But with
the way that Ryan... I don't think he could have, right? Didn't he have to face 3 batters?
Yeah, I think I think you're right. Yeah, I don't think he had that opportunity.
Yeah, and the 3 batters he faced were double, and single runner advancing to second. So wasn't right. Was a tough 3 batters.
Yeah, and you pointed it out, though, with as good as he has been, and the fastball especially has been elite for him lately, I felt okay with him going into that game at that point. And, you know, I get the idea of saving Whitlock. Was it the right move? No, obviously not. But, I can't be mad at Cora for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that one... we just talked about Brazier a couple pods ago. They kind of all blend together when you're basically doing a podcast a day. But I'd completely come around on Brazier. You know, I was not his biggest fan during the season, but really the entirety of the second half, he's just been absolute shutdown mode, and even most recently was on that stretch of a bunch of scoreless innings in a row. I felt good about him coming in, and that was a weird feeling for me. Yeah. So... But nice to see Whitlock come in and then be able to finish it off with those last 2 strong innings. It is nice to have him in the bullpen.
Yep, it really is. That dude's been a complete weapon all year long. Let's wrap this one up, Keaton, by just talking about the other series going on. Little bit of a mini preview here. Houston versus Chicago White Sox, your home team White Sox out there in Chicago. Houston has the series lead 2-1. They got postponed today. Who do you want to win that series? Who would you prefer that the Red Sox face?
The White Sox, for a couple reasons. One's because you just mentioned it's in Chicago and I could go to some playoff games, and that's fun. But also, for as good as the Chicago bullpen is, they have really kind of been inconsistent, and Craig Kimbrel is falling apart, not being in a closer role right now. I feel a lot better about facing that pitching staff, although, I mean... They rack up strikeouts at an insane rate, just kind of all throughout their rotation and bullpen. It would not be an easy series, but they played the White Sox a hell of a lot better than they played the Astros. And I know that I think all 6 of the games against the Astros were early in the season. So both teams' makeup is kind of a lot different from when they played, but they just played the White Sox like a couple weeks ago. And although they lost the series, all 3 games were incredibly tight. I think they were all 1-run games. The Red Sox were able to get to some of their starters early, drug out long at bats against the bullpen, really made them work. And in a stretch where they weren't playing great baseball, played that team really well. Yeah. And that was a series that was on the road, too. So I think they match up better for the White Sox, though I guess I wouldn't feel... terribly. I mean, kind of like as you outlined, I feel confident that they could win a series, but it's not. I don't think there's a significant upgrade facing the White Sox versus the Astros. They're both really tough teams.
Yeah, I would feel. I guess I feel even more like they would be better off playing the White Sox just because there's a bunch of guys in that White Sox lineup that can strike out a whole lot in a bit of a similar way to this Rays team. I think their lineup is probably a little bit better than this Rays lineup overall, but there's definitely a lot of guys with a lot of swing and miss. There's a ton of athleticism on that team, but also the Red Sox have been able to do better against a lot of the pitchers that the White Sox have as well. So, I want to avoid Houston at all costs. Do I think they could beat either of these teams? Sure. But I think it would be a lot easier to beat the Chicago White Sox. So I'm going to be pulling for the White Sox over these next couple days. And the Red Sox are going to have some opportunity to rest up. So it's good. We'll be on here again to discuss some of the roster moves and give you guys a playoff preview for the ALCS, which I cannot believe I'm saying. I can't believe the Red Sox are the last team standing in the AL East in a year where four teams won over 90 games in that division. That is just crazy.
Yeah. I also, real quick, ALDS MVP isn't a thing, but if you had to hand one out, who'd you give it to?
Kike.
Yeah, I think we give it to Kike too. Devers might be a close second, though.
Oh, Devers was huge, but the at-bats that Kike was able to have and the defense that he played, he's just crazy good. And I just love him. He was talking after the game. I just turned to my wife and I was like, I love this man. Everything he says and what he brings to this clubhouse is just exactly what this team needs. And one quote that really stuck with me was Rosenthal asked him, like, you know, when did you think this team was capable of this? And he was like, spring training. And I just love that. Shows the belief that he's had in this squad since the jump.
Yeah. Also, shout out to J.D. Martinez on a bum wheel hitting .467 this series.
Yeah, that's not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so J.D. Martinez hitting .467 and Kike hitting .450. Yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah. Definitely. Get healthy.
Yep, absolutely. This was a fun podcast to do, Keaton. You know, we'll be doing these previews quite a bit. Keaton's already been doing a bunch of them, so thank you for listening. And go Red Sox onto the ALCS. All right, we'll talk to you later.